Good morning. I have an announcement that I did not originally think I was going to say, but I am going to say it, and I'm going to ask grace and love when I get it wrong. Our Selvage Street Forum is not this Thursday, but a week from this Thursday. See, that's what I'm saying. A week from this Wednesday, so it's the following Wednesday, which is the 30th at 7 p.m. in the Martin House. Please come and join us for that discussion on The Great Gatsby. And if you have read it and it's been a few years, you might want to go back and peruse it. And if you have not read it, why haven't you? No, I'm just kidding. And so please join us next Wednesday on the 30th? It is the 30th. It's that quick. Oh, my word. Time is going by too quickly. And now to my actual announcements. If you are a regular attendee of the Lunch Bunch, 2 weeks. That's what I was thinking. Okay, time's not passing quite as quickly as I thought. If you are a regular attender of the Lunch Bunch, we are not going to have a lesson tomorrow. I am going to need that time to finish getting my head on straight for this week. And so I will be doing some preparations for our services this week and some additional prayer and meditation. And so if you are usually used to coming and having your lunch, you are welcome to do so. There just won't be a lesson involved this week. This Wednesday, the mission team would like to invite you to volunteer for the Friendship House Book Fair, in which we donated books to the Friendship House for children to take home with them for their home libraries, and they will be getting to choose those books this Wednesday from 9 to 11 a.m., and you are invited to come and be part of that. Our Monday-Thursday service this week will take place over at the Dalton First Methodist Church, and that will be at 6 p.m. It's a communion service that will feature Mozart's Missa Brevis in B-flat major. How did I do on that? Great. Come meditate with us on the love and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ through this beautiful music. We will also have a children's moment put on by the children's director from the First Methodist Church. And afterward, the children will leave the sanctuary and have activities and a program that's a little more suited to them and their age groups. Then our Good Friday service will be back in here this Friday at 5:30 p.m. We've done that to allow our working families to join us, and we will have a nursery available if you have young ones and would like them to be in the nursery. This Good Friday service will be a solemn, simple, reflective service as we follow Jesus' steps toward the cross on Golgotha. The solemn, quiet service will conclude with a final hymn, and we will be invited to exit in silence. Then on Saturday, our children and their families will anticipate Easter morning with an egg hunt at Jean and Walter Jones's house for the older kids and at Mary Ellen Gurley's house for the younger ones. And then we will all rejoin at the Jones residence for a devotional and a retelling of the Easter story. All children from 2 weeks old to over 100 are welcome to attend this. So please come and enjoy this time together. And I hope I wasn't out of sorts to invite everybody to your house. And then, of course, on Easter Sunday, a week from today, we will get together to celebrate a glorious day of resurrection. We will meet at 9:15, is that correct, out on the lawn to decorate the cross. There will be lots of time for fellowship before we begin our worship service in here. And then following worship, most of you will likely have gatherings with your families in your homes, but for those of you who would like to have Easter Sunday lunch here, please let the church office know so that we can give Rhonda an accurate count of who will participate in that. Do we have any other announcements for the good of all? Did I mess up anything else that I'm not aware of? Okay, great. Then as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship God, the peace of Christ be with you all.
call to worship. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. I will exalt and rejoice in your steadfast love. Let your face shine upon your servant. Love the Lord, all you his saints.
The Lord preserves the faithful.
Be strong and let your heart take courage.
All you who obey the Lord.
And let us pray. Gracious God,
as we enter this holy week, strengthen us to move beyond the festive parade of palms and to follow Jesus into the way of the cross. That united with him and all faithful, we may one day enter through the gates of righteousness into the eternal city, the New Jerusalem, where we may praise you, Christ, and the Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
Let us confess our sin to God, trusting that God's steadfast love endures forever. Praying first in silence. And together we pray. God of heaven and earth, we give you thanks for sending us Jesus Christ in your name. Even though we profess to follow him, we confess that in times of trial, we too often deny him. Forgive us and heal us, we pray. Help us to put our faith not in the princes of this world, but only in the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is the Lord who helps us, who will declare us guilty. Because of the grace we have received, which was signed and sealed in our baptism, we have nothing to fear. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come join me up front. How's everyone doing? Hi.
Mom, yeah? I really missed you.
You really missed me?
Yeah, I really missed you when you were up there.
You missed me while I was up there? I know. It was a long time, wasn't it? We're missing somebody. Where is she? Here we go. Come on up, Sadie. Oh, thank you. So you all sang such a beautiful song this morning, and I was wondering, what was that word that you were saying? Hosanna. Sounds a little like Hannah, doesn't it? What does Hosanna mean?
Hosanna is a song.
Yes, it is.
And Hosanna is also the prayer of the song at Presbyterian Church.
The Hosanna is the prayer at the Presbyterian Church. I love that. That's great. Do we know what the word Hosanna means? Do you know? No? It kind of means Lord. It actually means Lord, save us. Did you know that? So, why do you think people were singing and shouting? So what we did this morning, you all walked around with branches of palm trees and paraded around, and it was beautiful. Do you remember what happened?
These are the trees that are at beaches with coconuts on.
Yes, they are. Palm trees.
No food.
Yeah, palm trees are at beaches with coconuts on them. Yes, absolutely. Oh, you still have a palm frond. There you go. So why do you think people... back when Jesus was entering the city of Jerusalem, why were they waving these palm trees and saying, Hosanna, Lord, save us? Maybe there were some things going on back then, right? That they felt like they needed saving from. Well, Jesus rode, do you remember what animal? He rode into town a donkey. Yep, a colt. So our scripture this morning just says colt, but it was the colt of a donkey, a young donkey. And he rode this animal into the city of Jerusalem, and people wanted him to save them. Oh, I see. Hang on just a second. And so they acknowledged as they were saying, waving these branches and putting them down, and they were taking off their cloaks, their jackets, and they were putting them down for the donkey to walk across. Would you put your jacket on the ground for a donkey to walk on? You would? That's great. Because I get to wash it, that's why.
And Mom, can I tell you something? When you stand this on the ground, mm-hmm. It really looks like this is a ball, really cool.
Okay, yeah, it is really cool when you spin it, but let me talk for a minute. Oh, so Jesus is going into Jerusalem. Where were we? Yes, into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people were saying, save us, and they thought that Jesus was their king. Well, the religious leaders didn't like all this attention that Jesus was getting, and so they said, why don't you get your people to quiet down? They all need to go home. This is too much. We need to put a stop to this. And Jesus said to them, if these people do not call out, then even the rocks will cry out. So all of creation is involved in what you all did this morning with waving palms and announcing that Jesus is our Lord, Jesus is King, and he is going to save us. That's what we hope. That's what we believe. So I have a question for you, and then I have a little gift for you.
It's the rocks.
Who? It is, but she already knows because she saw me making them. Who is Jesus to you? And I want each one of you to answer, and if you don't want the microphone, you don't have to. But who is Jesus to you? Haynes, do you want to answer? Who is Jesus? You can answer that question.
Well, who is Jesus to me is a baby.
Yeah, Jesus was a baby, yes.
But now he grew up.
Yep, now he grew up. Yep. Mm-hmm. So who is Jesus to you? Who else wants to say? Not you. Who is Jesus?
A trustful person.
Yeah, he's a trustworthy person. You don't want to say, that's okay. Who is Jesus to you? Do you want to say? No? No? That's okay. So we say that Jesus is Christ, right? And that means that Jesus is our Savior. And so I want to give you all a gift. Since the very rocks are going to cry out, I have rocks of all different colors, and each one says Christ is Lord, and they have palm fronds on them in all different colors. You can have one. Each person can have one.
This is pink.
So pick out the one that you like.
This is for me. Mm-hmm. So I want this one.
Not sure. It's a hard decision, isn't it? There we go. Everybody get one? All right.
How is giant collection?
Yeah. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for sending us your Son, Jesus. We truly believe that Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will reign forever and ever. Give us courage to walk as he walked and love as he loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can go back to your places.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, quiet within us all mortal voices, that through the story of the Passion and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 118. Listen for God's word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
That was absolutely incredible. Thank you. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Listen now for the word of God. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now, as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I wish I had had enough time and money to paint rocks for all of you to take home today. It was a lot of fun getting those ready for the kids this week. I know that they don't have to have a treat or a prize every week, but it's a lot of fun putting it together. And I think it gives us a tangible reminder of a concept that has a lot, that is a lot more complex than it seems on the surface. Christ is Lord. Hosanna. As I told the kids, and perhaps you already knew this, Hosanna is thought to mean praise God. But it's more nuanced than that. It is also a word that is not found in our passage in Luke. It was, however, used in Mark's telling of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. In Luke, there is only praise on the people's lips. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." Yet in Mark's gospel, the people shout, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom, the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna means save us and is reminiscent of Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. "Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Now, I asked the kids who Jesus was to them before they got to take their rocks home. It was a question we could have asked the people that lined the street that day when Jesus rode on a colt, specifically the colt of a donkey, according to Matthew. They would have agreed that Jesus was their king. Some might have even used the word Mashiach, Messiah. Yes, he was the one they had been waiting for, their savior. Yet death on a cross was not even a hint on their minds whatsoever. This savior, this king, was supposed to lead armies to defeat the oppressive powers that ruled over them, namely Rome, And if he had time left over to restructure the temple authorities while he was at it, well, so much the better. When they begged Jesus to save them, they were asking for tangible, dramatic, and immediate help for their present circumstances. This, of course, didn't sit well with the temple authorities, and they asked Jesus to quiet everyone down and disperse the crowds. As the NRSV literally translated it, Jesus replied, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Have you ever heard the comparison of dead stones and living stones? It's a reference to where we put our emphasis on the church. This building, as beautiful as it is, and as magnificent as the acoustics are, is built of dead stones. They can't sing, they don't dance, or love, or show compassion. They can't embrace a widow or feed an orphan. They can't speak words of hope to a hurting world. But the church is not built of dead stones, but living stones. Each of you is one of these living stones, built on the foundation that is our Christ, our Mashiach, our Lord Jesus. It makes me wonder what kinds of stones or rocks would cry out today if Jesus were to appear once more. So if you'll permit me, I'd like to take you on a narrative journey with some of our living stones in the world today. Their stories cry out for Jesus to save them. Some of these stories are vague to protect the privacy of the people involved. Some of them have given me permission to use their stories. All of these people are real-life stones that have impacted my life and my personal growth. The first is Donna Abu Ghazala, a classmate of mine at Columbia. Just in the past few weeks, she became the first Jordanian woman to be ordained in the PCUSA. Yet while she was born in Jordan, she is really of Palestinian descent. See, her grandmother lived in Palestine when Israel became a state. They were a Christian family who were forced to leave their home on very short notice. In fact, Donna's grandmother took the key to her home with her as they crossed the border into Jordan. Until her dying day, she slept with that key under her pillow, the key to her home, which she would never see again in her lifetime. As you can imagine, Donna has strong feelings about what has been going on in Israel and Palestine for generations, but her faith has only been made stronger. Where she comes from, women cannot serve in leadership roles in the church. I'm privileged to have her as a friend and to be a friend to her as we both navigate what it means to be a woman called to ministry in such a time as this. Even the rocks will cry out. During my internship at Decatur Presbyterian, I had the great fortune to meet a man named Robert Gamble. He's the director of a shelter for women and children in Ukraine called This Child Here, which is a validated ministry of the PCUSA. Reverend Gamble spends much of the year at the center in Ukraine, but also spends several months out of each year in the United States. He visits churches, which is how I met him, and presbyteries to share the mission of the center and to seek support, both prayerful and financial. He, of course, also takes time to visit his family and home, which is not far from Asheville, North Carolina. They were affected by Hurricane Helene, but not badly. Originally, This Child Here was founded to alleviate overcrowded orphanages in Ukraine and to find forever homes for the children in its care. However, when the war broke out, more and more mothers and their children were being displaced from their homes as husbands and fathers were taken from their families. The center became a place for these families to seek refuge after fleeing their homes and towns. While they offer a sense of community, the website states that the memory of what happened, what was destroyed, and who was killed in this war and in the hometown is always in the background. Yet alongside a place of war and destruction always comes a place for creativity. The center offers mothers and their children activities for art therapy and sports, programs for mothers to meet individually and in groups with a psychologist, and even summer camps by the sea in Bulgaria, where families can bond together and in community with others who have shared the same lived experiences. Most of the time, this child here is far enough away from the fighting that the families have space to heal and process their trauma. But on at least one occasion, the town where they reside was attacked by drones. The morning after that harrowing night spent in the center, the leadership made a video of the mothers and children. It's haunting the way they simply look at the camera in silence. And I would challenge any human being with a heart not to be moved to tears to see the shock in their eyes. Even the rocks will cry out. Over the past few years, I have pursued my call to ministry. I've gotten to know a very special person whose family is from Myanmar. Naturally, when I heard of the earthquake, I reached out to my friend to see if their family was affected, if everyone was okay. Thank God their family was not in that region and they were not hit, but their local church sprang into action and quickly gathered supplies and took a group of people to that region to help in the relief effort. My friend explained to me that Myanmar is not a region that often gets hit by earthquakes, so the infrastructure was simply not in place to handle such devastation. One of the pictures on the front of your bulletin, in the middle row, the far left, is of a Buddhist temple which was badly damaged. The death toll, unfortunately, will continue to rise as people are daily being pulled from the rubble. Even the rocks will cry out. In the summer of 2022, I worked as a chaplaincy intern with a homeless advocacy center in Atlanta. Most of the time, the work that we did was very much like social work. We assisted people in getting their birth certificates, their social security cards, and state IDs so that they could apply for jobs or be admitted into the local shelters. One day I was pulled aside by my supervisor and asked to pray with one of our guests. I knew when I saw him, this was serious. We were given permission to use a storage room down the hall so that I could sit with him and pray with him away from the main waiting room. He told me that he used to be a pastor, but that upon moving to a new state in an unfamiliar town, his family had been killed in a drive-by shooting that hit the wrong apartment. While he was at his new church working one afternoon, he lost everything. In his pain and despair, he grew further and further away from his calling. It had been decades by the time I met him. He had used drugs and alcohol to numb the pain and was living on the streets. As I sat with him and cried with him, he told me that he was ready to take his leave from this world, and there wasn't much to stop him from doing so. I knew from my training that a lot of flowery theological words would not be helpful and could actually cause more harm than good. So I simply told him that it was a choice that only he could make, but that I sure would like to see him again that next day. I told him not to promise anything, not to me and not to himself. I just wanted him to know that there was one person who was going to look forward to seeing his face the next day and to offer him a snack and a bottle of water to go along with a prayer and a hug. Oh, how I prayed that night that I would see him again. And I did. He came the next day, and I offered him the same invitation. He came back the day after that, and the day after that. For 2 weeks, I invited, and he came. Then one day, he told me that a preacher of a charismatic church on the other side of Atlanta had hired him to play drums on Sunday mornings. It was his turn to extend an invitation to me. So that Sunday, the Jiskook clan loaded up and drove to the west side of Atlanta to a small African-American Pentecostal church where they prayed in tongues and passed out with the power of the Holy Ghost, where my new friend played the drums loud and fast with a smile as big as Texas, and where the whole congregation sang as though Jesus was returning that very minute. Even the rocks will cry out. This last story is not from someone I have met personally, but it is a story that changed my whole perspective on immigration policies in the United States. Valeria Luiselli is the author of Tell Me How It Ends, an essay in 40 questions, which describes her experiences as a volunteer at the Federal Immigration Court in New York City. Her job was to translate for unaccompanied migrant children as they answered the 40-question form that would largely determine whether they would be allowed to seek asylum in the United States or be deported to their home countries. The book is full of devastatingly precise detail about the children's experiences in getting to the U.S. Some of the statistics turned my stomach. But it was the vivid picture of the children running to catch the freight train known as La Bestia, the beast, that haunts me most. Children would ride between the cars or on top of the train, flying through the countryside at breakneck speeds. The children that managed to survive the trip and cross the border typically turned themselves into the immigration authorities as soon as possible. Most are then placed in what is called the ICE box, a detention center that is run by ICE, Immigration Services, and is kept at frigid temperatures to keep any diseases under control. Many children reported that they were fed very little and were not given blankets or cots upon which to sleep. Yet the stories they shared about why they left home to begin with was enough to break any parent's heart. To think that La Bestia and the icebox are preferable to spending one more day in their hometowns and villages is unimaginable. As Luiselli writes, children chase after life, even if that chase might end up killing them. Children run and flee. They have an instinct for survival, perhaps, that allows them to endure almost anything just to make it to the other side of horror, whatever may be waiting there for them. Even the rocks will cry out. Friends, we stand on the same road with these living stones. We can see our king riding on a colt of a donkey. We wave our branches and we lay our coats at his feet. I would urge you to watch him closely. See how he comes, not as a warrior, but as a servant. See how he humbles himself as we shout praises on high. As we follow him into the city, don't forget to look at the faces around you. Who is it that mingles their shouts of praise with shouts of Hosanna? Save us, we beseech you. Oh God, we beseech you. The living stones are crying out for salvation all over the world. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Friends, as we have heard the word of God read and proclaimed, please join me as we affirm our faith together using the words from Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being born in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. God in the highest, you came to us in a human being who humbled himself like a slave. We pray for the nations that worship power and might. May they be ruled by humility and peace. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the church and its leaders, that we may have the mind of Christ and stand alongside those who cry out, Hosanna, save us. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the victims of all human tragedies and of disasters of nature. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are in prison, the repentant and the unrepented, and the falsely accused. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are ill or infirmed or are rejected because they seem to be weak. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, through Jesus Christ, you have come to us and shared our common lot. Mold us into people who show your mercy and keep us obedient to him whose name is above all other names, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, God has given us his only child, Jesus Christ, as the way of our salvation. Let us then give generously as God has given to us. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks for the great deeds of salvation that you have done and continue to do. Bless these offerings of thanksgiving that they may further your kingdom in this world. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, as we embark on this next step in the journey, be mindful of the profound nature of this Holy Week. We go beyond the joyful parade of the palms, see, I did it in reverse, and follow Jesus into the suffering of this world, knowing that he remained obedient, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. May you know the love of Christ, the mercy of the Father, and the fire of the Spirit as you go with the one God who is mother to us all. Amen.